This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. Here's your HeartWise host, Dr. James Markham.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to HeartWise. And I've been making these programs with our guests for quite a number of years. And you think after a while you've talked about every different health topic possible. But Charles, today we have a topic that I don't think I can remember ever making a radio program on. And would you like to introduce that topic that we're going to talk about today?
Absolutely. And I think you're absolutely right. We have not talked about this, and it's time that we do that. I got to say, Dr. Markham, you and your fellow physicians represent one of our best hopes for health and one of our scariest elements along that journey. You prod us, you poke us, you scan us, inject us, drug us, take our temperature, check our blood pressure, and even ask us to take our clothes off. But sometimes you want to cut us. You want to unapologetically gaze right into our inner selves like nothing else can. That's the scary part, surgery. Sometimes a necessary stop on our road to health. But we shouldn't worry, right? We should know that modern medicine has made surgery totally safe these days. Am I right, Dr. Markham?
Well, you know, surgery has made some great progress. In fact, out of all the things that modern medicine has helped with over the years, you know, I'd have to rank anesthesia. Once you got anesthesia, we could put people to sleep. Because years ago, people with a bad gallbladder or appendicitis or problems in their bowels or bleeding inside, they would die right away.
Yeah.
So surgery for them is a lifesaver. There's certain other type of surgeries that you know, I know my father-in-law has a pacemaker. Mm-hmm. Without a pacemaker, his heart would have stopped. So that's something that's also very useful. So surgery does have benefits, but it also has risks. Now, you know, there's certain types of surgery that's being done that are risky and the benefits might not be worth it. And you hear about people occasionally having bad things happen during cosmetic surgery.
Yes,
you know, there's some people that have a procedure called liposuction where they have fat really sucked out of them. There's some risk related to that. So everything that I talk about as a physician really talks about risk management, which is riskier, having the condition or having the treatment. And now I see myself in the modern medicine is great at treating symptoms, but we also want to get people to get at the cause of disease as well. So today we've had to our website, that's our heartwiseministries.org, a lot of people have asked questions about surgery. So Charles, we want to answer their questions today.
Well, of course, number one question that we're getting is, Dr. Markham, which surgeries are the most risky and why?
And that's a very common question that I get because I take care of a lot of elderly patients between 80 and 90 and 100 years old. And sometimes they need surgery and they want to know whether the risk of surgery is worth the risk of the anesthesia and the other associated problems. So the risk, the surgeries that are most risky, okay, to a person are the vascular surgeries, okay? We've heard of those. Aneurysm repairs, that's a risky surgery. One on the neck where they clear out blockages in the neck, called carotid endarterectomy, that can be risky at time. So those are some of the higher risk surgeries, some of the big bowel surgeries, okay? That can be a little bit on the risky side. Now, surgeries like cataracts and skin cancer removals, some of those are much lower a risk of surgery. So those are some of the things that we want to talk about when a person has surgery. Is it going to be a surgery where they're put, you know, a bad back surgery, where they're asleep for hours and hours and hours? Yeah. Well, that's going to be more risky than a mole removal surgery. So whenever someone comes in, I ask them which surgeries are they going to have and what's the risk? Now, a lot of the surgeries people have to have, you know, if you don't have it, something bad happens. So in that case, the risk is worth taking, but there's some surgeries that might be elective or it might be a big orthopedic surgery in a person that has lots of risk. And you say, well, which is worse, getting a new hip or new joint, or taking the risk, especially if they have a lot of other health problems, the risk that they might entertain with surgery, whether that be infection, increased risk of heart attack, increased risk of stroke, or some of these other things. So the surgeries are important to talk about to your doctor about the risk associated with them. But some of the bigger surgeries, the ones that are the risk, is anytime someone cuts into your thorax or abdomen, those are usually quite a bit of risk because they put a lot of stress on the body. There's lots of fluid shifts, and they also have a lot of blood loss. So the way I think of it, anything from the waist up when they're cutting in you, that's pretty much risky surgery. Anywhere out of there outside of brain surgery might be a little bit less risky.
Now, you've identified that the whole concept of going to sleep using the anesthesia there, that there's risk with that. What is so risky about going to sleep?
Well, you know, a lot of people don't understand the risk of anesthesia, but people don't understand the way that medicine works. Sometimes, you know, you can get them to sleep and you can't get them to wake up so early. Sometimes if you take the tubes that's breathing out too quickly, they don't get good oxygen in their body. Sometimes their gag reflexes is disrupted, and they do something called aspirate, where their stomach content sometimes can go into the lungs. Now, that's much lower now that we keep people with empty stomachs. Yeah. But sometimes in emergency surgery, you can't do that. And any time you have anesthesia, there's risk of terrible things happen, like allergic reactions. There's a condition called malignant hyperthermia, where these can trigger very high temperatures to occur in the body. Those things are very deadly in the risk of any anesthesia. So my dad used to give anesthesia, and he said, you know, the risky part is getting the plane off the ground and on the ground. You know, the landing, and but in the air, it's not so bad. Yeah. But everything has its risk, and you also have to talk about, well, risk, you know, certain people that have bad lungs, the risk of anesthesia might not be worth it. And we do other anesthesia that's less risky. Sometimes we can give local. Sometimes it's just too risky to put a person to sleep because of their lungs are bad or other comorbid conditions. So that's a good question for everyone is, do you think my body is strong enough to undergo anesthesia? That's why I'm involved in it, because a lot of patients come to me and say, listen, what's the risk of this surgery? Is a risk worth the benefits? And are there anything that we can do before the surgery to lower the risks?
Now, you can give them a stress test. Is this important? Does that help?
Well, you know, it's sometimes it's helpful if we're concerned about the heart. But usually people before surgery, I don't really have, you know, sometimes I can just talk to them and I can ask them I ask them questions and I can tell whether they're unstable or not. Because there's, like I said, remember, there's no test that prevents, can predict heart attack.
Now, the stress test we're talking about, that doesn't mean they're having a bad day at work. I mean,
No.
Okay, what's that mean?
This is where we walk them on a treadmill, or we do a nuclear treadmill where we put stress on the body and see how a person reacts.
Okay.
Because, you know, surgery is stress on the body.
Yeah.
So, but other ways we can get at the same thing is I can ask them, you know, I ask them, can you walk up 2 flights of stairs? Can you walk 4 blocks without getting real short of breath, without having chest pain? And if they can do that, if their functional status is good, then their risk is a lot lower. For instance, people that can't do those type of things, you know, have a lot of chest pains, or when they do things, that tells me that their cardiovascular risk is probably higher, and they might not want to undergo surgery because they might have a risk of a heart attack.
Yeah.
So some people I can tell in the office by asking them certain questions. If I can't really tell, I said, listen, to check the status of your heart, we might want to do a stress test first. That might help me assess your cardiovascular risk.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the surgeries can affect the heart, and there may be problems with the heart and having even a heart attack during surgery. How does that happen?
Yeah, well, there's many different ways people can have heart attacks during surgeries. And if you think about it, one of the causes is the adrenaline. The adrenaline surges can trigger vascular disease.
Okay.
Whenever you undergo surgery and put stress on the body, the body likes to have blood clots. So you're a condition called prothrombotic. Whenever you lose blood, the volume shifts. That puts more stress on the body. And all these things can destabilize these plaques that are in the body. They also can make, if you have fixed coronary blockage, they can make that worse as well. Some people, that this stress on the body from a surgery triggers these plaque ruptures. And some can have funny heart rhythms when their blood volume shifts or the stress on the body. So there's lots of different causes of cardiac events around surgery. And some of these things are predictable, or we can say what the risk is, whether you're low risk, middle risk, or high risk. And some of these things we just can't predict. So we're going to keep talking about this, Charles, after break. And if you have questions, send them to our website, heartwiseministries.org, because that's the way we form our programs. We're going to be right back after this break talking about, is surgery safe for you?
In his book, The Ultimate Prescription, now available from Tyndale House Publishers, cardiologist Dr. James Markham writes, "The very first deception we face in this world today is the thought that modern medicine can fix anything. To be brutally honest, modern medicine can't fix a thing. The doctor can set a leg, but as for the healing of that broken bone, the doctor can only watch and be amazed." Here's the scary part. People who experience heart disease, who suffer from cancer, who fight debilitating pains, who stand in lines at drugstores waiting to fill their endless prescriptions, who sit and watch television commercials extolling the power of the latest and greatest pharmaceutical, firmly believe that their doctors or the pills are providing a cure to their ills. They think they're getting fixed. They're wrong. Dr. Markham's book, The Ultimate Prescription, is available from Amazon.com and wherever quality books are sold. To learn more about health from a biblical perspective, visit heartwiseministries.org. I'd like to take a moment to invite you to visit the Heartwise Ministries team on the internet. Stop by heartwiseministries.org and discover for yourself that optimum health is not the result of favorable genes or the right combination of pharmaceuticals. No, optimum health is the result of making the right choices each and every moment of each and every day. If you're like me, you're probably a little confused about what the media and marketing moguls are feeding us. There are a lot of potions, pills, and promises out there. Some work, some don't, and some are downright dangerous. Whom do you believe? Whom do you trust? Board-certified cardiologist Dr. James Markham, founder-director of Heartwise Ministries, says there is a source of information that can be trusted and followed. That's the Bible, God's owner's manual, as he calls it, for us all. The information you find on heartwiseministries.org is information backed by biblical truth. It can be trusted because God can be trusted. So stop by, won't you? That's heartwiseministries.org.
Dr. James Markham. I'm talking today with Charles Mills. We're answering your questions about a subject, is surgery safe? In the first segment, we've talked about different types of high-risk surgery that are higher risk. We've talked about when you have surgery, whether the risk is worth the benefits. We've talked a little bit about anesthesia and things that can cause heart attacks. And these are very interesting things because we want everyone to have complete knowledge and have the right questions to ask if you should undergo surgery, because if you undergo surgery, we want it to be as safe as possible and put you under the least amount of risk. But right now, I don't know any surgery that has no risk. So everything out there, we have to look at the risk versus the benefits. Charles, do we have any more questions?
Yeah, we were talking about the heart attacks during surgery, and Dr. Markham, as a cardiologist, is there any way you can predict? This is a question from the heartwiseministries.org website. Is there any way to predict heart attacks during surgery? Is one person more likely to have it than the other?
Right. Well, unfortunately, there's no way we can predict heart attack, just like we can't predict heart attacks in the general population. So I can't say to any individual person that no, you're not going to have a heart attack, but I can estimate their risk. Okay. People that have heart disease, people that have diabetes, people that have problems with their kidneys, people that have had old heart attacks, people that smoke, those people have a higher risk of having cardiovascular disease. In fact, we have scores that we can look at people, and if they have this factor, this factor, this factor, we say they have a 2% risk. Mm. Or if you have three of these, we have an 8.5% risk. So we can sort of give a feel for how risky the surgery is just by talking to a person and knowing their family history. As far as predicting heart attack, I can tell you, you know, if you have a lot of chest pain, if you have a stress test that show you have lots of part of the heart that's not getting enough disease, if you have a lot of smoking history,
you diabetes, mean getting enough oxygen?
Yes, then we can certainly tell you that you are at the highest risk of developing a heart attack. Yes. And then sometimes, even though I tell people that they're at the highest risk, the surgery still has to be done.
Yeah.
And then if that's the case, then we want to do everything we can possibly to lower that risk. If the surgery has to be done and they're at high risk, everything possible to lower that risk.
Now, that was a question that came up next on the heartwise.org website was, is there anything I can do to lower the risk of surgery? Yeah. Now, you've mentioned several of the problems that we have. Smoking is one. I would imagine, Dr. Markham, that you would lower the risk by simply stop smoking. Am I on the right track?
Absolutely, Charles. You would lower that risk by stopping smoking. Other things that you would lower your risk of doing is some people need to take what we call beta blockers. Okay. Yeah. Those are medicines that block adrenaline. That can be very helpful. In people that are undergoing vascular surgery, surgery on their neck or blood vessels, they had better outcomes if giving a medicine to lower cholesterol. Mm. Cholesterol-lowering medications can lower these risks up to 30%.
Wow.
And the reason they say that is because it helps stabilize the plaques inside the body. Just like the cigarettes destabilize plaques, cholesterol does. Now, I don't have data on this, but anything that diet-wise you would think that would cause oxidation would increase your risk. Yeah. Anything that would prevent oxidation would help your risk. So, of course, eating a healthy diet should lower your risk. So statins can lower your risk. Taking beta blockers can lower your risk. Now, if you're in the highest risk of persons, let's say we do a stress test and you do terrible on the stress test, some people would benefit from a process is called revascularization, where we help open up the blockages.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that in a couple ways. One of them is, of course, a big problem, and that's bypass surgery.
Yeah.
Okay. Another then some people need bypass surgery. Some people we can do that with stents. Okay. And there's different types of stents we can put in. One is called a bare metal stent. However, if we put a bare metal stent in, we have to put off the procedure for a while because the stents have to sort of heal in place.
Sure.
So when they do that, we have to put people on platelet agents to help prevent blood clots on the new stents.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to put if we put a bare metal stent, we have to put off the surgery for at least 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if we put in a special stent called a drug-eluting stent, we have to put a surgery off for as much as, a year even. Because those stents, we replace, the disease of the blockages with a foreign object. The foreign object wants to clot, and we have to protect that, and it takes a certain amount of time to grow tissue endothelium around that so it doesn't want to clot as much. Now, which patients do I frequently send for revascularization before surgery? Well, people that are having let's say they have an aneurysm inside them, okay, or they have a bad blockage in the neck. Well, we know that if you have a blockage in your neck, there's always a chance you have a blockage in your heart.
Nice.
Or if you have a blockage damaging the blood vessel in the aorta, there's a chance that you would have blockages in your heart or blockages in your legs. So for those people, we do a stress test and we say, oh man, you're one of the people that also have blockages in your heart. Well, since some of those surgeries, need to be done, we want to do them under the safest manner. And so some people, we have to bring extra blood to the heart, and unless it's life-threatening, put off these other surgeries for a while to lower a person's risk of doing that. So that's another way in small groups we can bring extra blood to the heart. We've talked about beta blockers. We want everyone to be healthy by quitting smoking, eating healthier foods. If you can exercise and get in good physical shape, that's bound to help them as well. So all these are little things that you can do to lower your risk before surgery.
Have you ever had a case, Dr. Markham, where you said, okay, listen, you need to do some things here so that your surgery will go smoother. You need to change your diet. You need to stop smoking. You need to exercise more. You need to drink more water. You need to lower your stress levels. Have you ever seen a person do that over time and then realize that because they've done all those things, they don't need the surgery?
Yeah, that's a good one. A couple years ago, I took care of a lady that was going to have an elective knee surgery. Uh-huh. And she was diabetic and her blood sugar wasn't very good control. Her heart was in pretty good shape. I said, listen, you know, since this is elective, you want to put off, why don't you know, you really want to lower your risk to heal well. Let's get this diabetes under good control. Mm-hmm. She was a type 2 diabetic. And type 2 diabetic is a disease of having too much fat. So we talked about fat in the diet. We talked about fat on her. And she took it very seriously, Charles. She was on 2 diabetic medicines that weren't working very good. Well, even though she couldn't walk well, she got in a pool and she swam every day. She really cut back her fat almost to zero. And she worked hard for 5 or 6 months. She lost about 50 pounds. In fact, she got off her blood sugar medicines. And when she lost her weight, she noticed that the change of the diet improved her inflammation. And the extra fat was making inflammatory cytokines, which hurt her knee. And by the time that was done, her knee just didn't bother her that much. So she decided against surgery. Now that is an extreme, and every situation doesn't happen that way. And that was a very much an elective surgery, but it is possible to improve your body. So maybe you don't need. I another story I'll tell you is a fellow that had a bunch of these cysts all over his body. You know, these funny things that kept popping up. And I said, you know, a lot of these are associated with diet. And he was going to have laser surgery on a lot of them. I said, why don't you give it a month and why don't you go on this really more of a plant based diet and try not to eat all these ugly stuff that you've been eating and see if some of them don't go away. And guess what? As he started eating better, these fatty parts of his body that were being stored on the outside, they gradually went away, so he didn't have to take the risk of surgery. Wow. So yes, there is ways that if you live healthy, you can lower the risk, but also sometimes prevent surgery, some of the elective surgeries. And, you know, you think about surgeries like liposuction, you know, does that really need to be done? You know, some people can avoid that if they live healthy. So, you know, but some of the take home points today we want to leave people with is, yes, every surgery has its risk. There's benefits. You need to really go to your doctor before they put you to sleep to make sure your risk is as low as possible. If you're having vascular surgery, there's strong evidence that a cholesterol medicine helps you out. If you're making a lot of adrenaline, beta blockers can help you out. If you can't walk up of 2 flights of stairs because of chest pain or shortness of breath, this could be a very high risk surgery for you, and you really might want to see a specialized physician to see if it's really worth the risk and anything that might be done to lower your risks.
Well, I like the idea, as you do, of prevention and anything we can do starting today that we can incorporate into our lives, into our lifestyle. And you have often said on this program that we really can't do it alone. We need to have a Heavenly Father take us by the hand and lead us through these things. God is willing to show us what we need to do. He's willing to take us by the hand and bring us to programs like this where we can hear this. We can go to the HeartWise.org website, HeartWiseMinistries.org website. We can check that out as well. There are things we can do to educate ourselves with our hand in God that just might lower the risk of surgery, or in some cases, and I praise God for this every time it happens, remove the need for surgery. And I think we need to be able to do that. And that requires a relationship with God, a walk with God, and a constant learning of what God has in mind for us. Isn't that the way it is, Dr. Markham?
That is so well said, Charles. And we're out of time today, but you know, there's such a wealth of information and wisdom that you just shared. And we just want to keep that thought with everyone today. And we will hope everyone learns something about how to lower their risk today of surgery and to think twice about it. The internet also has tons of good information. So we want to thank you today for joining Charles Mills and myself on HeartWise. Invite you to go to our website. That's heartwiseministries.org. We'll be happy to answer your questions. Thanks for joining us, and we wish you the best of health.
Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.